This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Feel it back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. First congratulated by Nimmo, hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What is this?
Oh, okay. I feel like I've heard this. Yeah, okay. Threw me off there for a second. 888-808-1019. Nick Bonagle here with you at 9:05. A little early in the evening for me. Feeling good. I got to hang out today. Actually saw some people. People do exist. And now they know I exist. It's good. It's good to see you guys. See you guys like, you know, the generational Tommy Lugauer. Here's a clue for Tommy, though. I forgot to tell him this to his face. Here's a clue for Tommy. One, I know it's St. Patrick's Day, and I know that Notre Dame is the Fighting Irish. But if you wear a blue Notre Dame shirt with not an ounce of green on it, that's not a St. Patrick's Day shirt. You can't just wear something. Like if I wore a Jameson or a Guinness shirt, but it's not green, that's not, I'm sorry. It can't just be Irish. It's got to be green. He's walking around with like a Notre Dame shirt. Like I'm like, buddy, it's not St. Patty's Day.
Loogie.
He was screaming about the toughness and the handshakes from the Knicks. Well, it really seems to have upset Karl-Anthony Towns that his teammates don't have his back. I mean, he's only come out and dropped 19 points so far, 8 of 14, 3 of 5 from 15, and went on a 15-0 run himself, I believe, if I read the stat correctly, because it's tough to watch every minute of the game as I'm talking to you. But Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't seem affected. He doesn't seem upset with his teammates. He's not going to sulk. He's going to attack. And so far, he's attacking, and the Knicks have an 8-point lead with 6.5 minutes left in the third quarter. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christopher. Happy St. Patty's Day to
happy
the Mamonicals.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you very much. Yes.
You guys do anything special for this holiday?
No, I spent it here pretty much. I was here from early in the afternoon.
No, I mean in general. Is it a big holiday for the McGonagall fan?
McGonagall. It's McGonagall.
Oh. Yeah, but Mike Francesa calls you McConical.
No, he calls
McGonagall.
Me McGonagall. He calls me McGonagall. It's actually McMonagall, but that's fine. We don't really do anything special. My mother makes corned beef. That's about it. Unfortunately, my kids were unable to catch the leprechaun this morning, and he ran amok. That's, the kids, they set up leprechaun traps, and they're yet to catch one. But maybe next year, fingers crossed.
All right, now I want to talk to you about this. We're on different spectrums as usual on the Giants situation.
Yes.
So I'm going to break it down for you. I want you to understand, the Giants are the ugliest girl at the prom. And Matthew Stafford comes walking in, and his brother starts dating her sister, and you think you're going to get with him, but you're not, and you walked right out the door. I want to know why you don't think Rodgers is doing the same thing. I know you want Rodgers for the position,
yeah,
but I don't think Rodgers wants to be being yelled at the sideline with Daboll, at the end of his career, acting like he knows what he's doing over, Rodgers and that whole situation. I just don't.
Yeah,
I
don't think that's a major determining factor. You think he's worried about getting yelled at by his head coach? That's why he's going to pick a different.
Yeah, I think him going down in his last 2 years. I told you he wants 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to go out in the blaze of glory. I don't think wants to go out and
he doesn't
want to
go out losing.
No, 3-14 and being blamed on ruining.
Well,
Giants,
do you think he's
like
going to go? Why do you think he's going to go 3-14?
I said maybe.
Well, I mean, everywhere he goes, there's a maybe third.
I don't understand you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you: if they get Rodgers,
yes.
What do you think their record's going to be?
Maybe 8-9.
Okay. They move up and get Cam Ward and he starts, what do you think their record's going to be? 6-11 or something.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe 5 or 6 wins. Hopefully,
so the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
This whole thing of being developed a player and developed.
Yep.
What did he do for Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson was developed before he got there, but yes, he didn't do anything for Zach Wilson.
Oh my goodness!
Well, he was the starting quarterback for Zach Wilson for 4 snaps. Zach Wilson got to watch Aaron Rodgers play for 4 snaps, and then he had to take over.
And let me just say,
Those 4 snaps, you're right, he didn't do anything for him.
Right, I want to say this last thing.
Yeah.
The Giants knew mid-season last year that they would need a quarterback, right? Coming out of the game, you would have some kind of list because Daboll and Shane are gurus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, Stafford is signed and Rodgers is signed.
Yeah.
So they're their first 2 picks. So, really, they fell right in their laps. So, really, they have no vision at all.
They have no vision at all.
No, they're not going to move up in the draft.
Everybody was
signed.
They're
not going to take a quarterback.
Everybody was signed. What are you talking about? What quarterback were they going to get that was unsigned? What? Everybody fell into their laps. You think Seattle had the? I mean, everyone was signed. Sam Darnold was signed.
Chris, everyone
was under contract and signed. So what vision did you expect them to have?
Chris, repeat after me. Giants will not take a quarterback at number 3.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. But again, you just say things, then I call you out on it, you move on to the next thing, and that's fine, Eddie. Like, what do you mean no vision? Because they waited for free agents to become free agents? Like, I don't understand what you're saying. They had Daniel Jones. It was a mistake. They signed him to a contract, and Joe Shane says as much. Joe Shane has referenced several times how they made a mistake after the winning season. Like, the way they handled things after they won. And what did they do? After they won and went to the playoffs and won the playoff game and then lost the Eagles, what'd they do? They signed Andrew Thomas to a contract. Do you think that's a mistake? They signed Dexter Lawrence to a contract. Do you think that's the mistake he's referencing? Or was signing Daniel Jones to the contract a mistake? He made the mistake signing Daniel Jones. No one made him do it. It's on him. They signed Daniel Jones to a bad contract. They signed a player who wasn't very good. They should have recognized he wasn't very good and move on. I agree. They felt like they had to. He was successful. They made it work that year. They got to the playoffs. They had Saquon. They thought that they could, you know, expedite the build. They were wrong. But after that, I don't know what vision you expected them to have at the quarterback position, other than drafting Bo Nix or drafting Michael Penix Jr., which I said draft day I would have done. Aaron Rodgers fell into their laps. Right now he's not in their laps. Neither is the quarterback. You know what would have helped falling into their laps? Losing the damn game against the Colts. Then a quarterback could have fell into their laps. Chris in Center Reach. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, thanks for making it, bud. What's up?
So actually, you really opened my eyes to Rodgers and the fact that the Jets had to have a meeting about why they let him go.
Well, they had to talk to individual players who were going public with their displeasure.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're going to take a veteran to to mentor the next guy, how is he not the guy? If the players themselves are openly speaking about why they're displeased that he's not still a Jet. And, you know, all the other guys, Russ, Jameis, if they're all in the same player status, then why wouldn't you bring Rodgers in and also let him take the time to decide if this is the first time he's actually been a free agent? But my question to you is, so what everyone is saying that this is not the draft class to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
Could we keep Rodgers for 2 or 3 years to get the next guy? And if he wins too many games,
you can't get the next guy.
Does that hurt that?
Yeah, of course. No, that's why you can't play this game. You don't know what's going to happen next year. You can't play this game of kicking it down the line. I can't tell you how many calls I've taken about, even from people who hate tanking and yell at me about my thoughts on tanking. They will still tell you, well, you know, listen, if we're bad this year, we'll just, you know, maybe we'll lose and you could draft Arch Manning next year. One, we don't even know if Arch Manning's going to come out, right? He's thrown, what, 45 passes in college? He's probably making a couple $1 million with the NIL deal. Maybe he loves it in Texas with Texas and wants to stay in next year. You don't even know when he's coming out. You don't know how many games you're going to win. You don't know if you're going to be in a position to draft him. You can't guarantee this stuff. They're where they are now. They could have taken a quarterback last year. I wish they would have. I screamed that they should have. They didn't. Now they're back here. You have to take the quarterback. When you're picking third and you don't have a quarterback, you have to take the quarterback. Like, he's making $6.6 million, Arch Manning? Yeah. Maybe he won't leave. Maybe he loves college. And making $6, $7 million to play quarterback at college, I think he'll be okay. Plus, he's a Manning. Like, he's certainly not someone, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't want to play in the NFL or doesn't want to be great and test himself at that level. I'm just saying he might be comfortable. And we don't even know how good he is. We talk about him like we're guaranteeing he's going to be great just because his last name is Manning and he's shown some promise. He hasn't played. You have to do what you have to do right when you have to do it. Like, that's just it. You can't kick this down the line any further. And as far as Aaron Rodgers and his teammates, I'm just saying, I think we're making up reasons why he's not good in the room. Like, I think we're just flat out making it up because we don't like him. Because he's a distraction. He says things in the interview. He didn't win last year for the Jets. And so we're all upset. I'm sorry, I have to comment on it. I don't typically comment on the games while they're going on. But there is a break in the action. And this is what I'm being told. There is a break in the action at the Knick game as I'm watching it because a fan in the front row just threw up all over the court. You see, I don't know where, but it feels like just what they're not giving you like the deep, they're not giving you the high angle shot. It's very close up, but Tibbs feels like he's standing somewhere he normally wouldn't stand. So I don't know if it's right by the bench or whatever the case may be, but this is a Larry David episode. I mean, I remember once playing in a basketball tournament when I was young, like 10, 11, 12 years old, and someone had like a big gulp or some like big soda, and it went everywhere and caused a bunch of time. It was the scorer. It was actually Joe Fredo, Lou Fredo's dad. Joe, if you're listening, I know you spilled that big soda everywhere. And that took forever to clean up. But can you imagine if someone just, let loose all over the court? Do you remember when you were a kid and like the janitor had that sawdust? Is that still what they clean up vomit with?
I was at the game. It was the Yankees. They were playing the Angels. I forget who the pitcher was. It was a pitcher for the Angels who threw up all over the mound. That was gross.
Yeah.
I actually called into you guys.
Really?
When you were doing Carton and Roberts. I called in the next day because they were asking how they cleaned it up.
Really? Yeah, I don't know if they still do that that sawdust. But they come around, they sprinkle the sawdust on it.
Yeah, they brought something out and then scooped it up with a shovel into it.
Yeah, it's almost like a kitty litter effect where it hardens the vomit and then it's easier to scoop it up. But right now, it must be bad. They have not shown one, far angle shot. It's all close-ups. They're just walking around.
And it's been at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hopefully the person's okay, I would imagine. I mean, maybe they're just sick, but I would think alcohol probably has something to do with it.
I think it's free alcohol down there, unlimited.
Probably.
There, and it's usually a celebrity, so you'd think it's probably a celebrity. There's got to be like a fan videos, pictures already coming out soon, right?
Imagine it's like someone there. Imagine it's someone there at the Garden. I tell you, I saw a bunch of people. I saw Shane McMahon. Maybe who knows who's throwing up in the Garden.
I saw, speaking of Craig, Craig's guy, Chris DiStefano was there.
Oh, Chris DiStefano.
And he was right behind Tibbs.
Oh, maybe it's DiStefano in his giant starter jacket.
Always.
Always.
And by the way, just you mentioned Larry David. 888-808-1019, Larry.
Oh, yeah. Larry wants to call in. I actually do have to see if I can get Jerry back on because I'm curious. And I would think Jerry would come on. I'm curious if Jerry still feels the way he felt. Because the last time I spoke to him, he didn't want Juan Soto. It was prior to the Mets signing Juan Soto. He loved last year. And he didn't want Juan Soto. He didn't want the Mets to spend all this money. Was it? No, it wasn't.
It seems like.
There are reports that it was Tracy Morgan. But I don't know if that's true. It's just reports. We'll see. People are saying it was Tracy Morgan. I wish Craig was here. Craig does a pretty good Tracy Morgan impression. I'm going to get you pregnant. He does it a lot better than me. And Eddie Murphy does it incredible. You see that on the Saturday Night Live, the 50th anniversary?
Yes.
He did Tracy Morgan in Celebrity Jeopardy. It was hilarious. The three cheese lasagna line? That was so funny. Well, I hope... if it is, whoever it is, I hope they're feeling better. But that's unbelievable. That's Tracy Morgan's never going to live that. Whoever, if it is a celebrity, they're never going to live that down. That's a rough one. 888-808-1019.
Let's go to, become the like the Knicks Huck Tua moment or OMG moment?
No, yeah, right, exactly. They're going to ride the vomit. Life, you know? They're going to ride the vomit all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, there's pictures out there in social media that it was Tracy Morgan. Oh, my God. I hope he's okay. 888-808-1019. Charlie and Beth Page. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Mac. How we doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How we doing?
We're doing all right.
We're doing good.
We're doing good. Just answer the question about the sawdust. I am a custodian in an elementary school.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of that. Stomach virus and the flu.
Sure.
And we go through a lot of that sawdust.
Oh, so you still use it. They have not found better ways since, Franklin Square 1992. We're still using the sawdust.
Yes, they are. Okay. They don't use it on the floors anymore, but they use it for the vomit.
Okay.
But by the way, congratulations. We haven't talked about it. Your old football team this year won the Long Island championship.
They did. They had Frank Carey, the Seahawks, they are Long Island champions. Congratulations. Yeah, they had one hell of a year. They really, it's funny. I mean, after I left, they had a coaching change. I think it's still the same guy, Stanley.
Coach Stanley.
Yeah.
Coach Mike Stanley. Yeah. Yes.
They have
done a real nice job.
Yeah, they've had a couple of down years here or there, but for the most part, they have been competing for district championships and Long Island championships for the last 15, 20 years. They've done a really great job.
But you got Coach Aiello still there, and he coached you back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, Coach
Aiello. And he's still there with him.
Yes. Is he really? I got to go back to school there. But, yeah, Coach Aiello was back with me. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Tommy's and he's the head coach of lacrosse.
Yeah, Tommy.
Coach
Aiello, I don't know. I don't know if I've told you this story. But Coach,
yeah, you did tell
yeah,
the story.
Oh, my God.
He was
spotting me. I was lifting. I was benching. He was the spotter. It was right after practice, and he was all sweaty, and I'll never forget it. It was like slow motion. As I'm doing the bench press, I'm looking up, and I can see this driplet of sweat hanging off his chin, and it falls right off his chin and right into my mouth. And in the middle of like holding up, I don't know, 200 pounds, bench pressing, and I went right into my mouth. I was disgusted. I almost dropped the weights on myself. It was so gross.
And Coach Timmy Jockman was in the weight room with you that day, too.
Probably,
because he called me up. He heard the phone call that night when we were talking about that. So it was kind of funny.
Yep.
But you're only talking with Terry. They got to go against Garden City, and that's a tough game to go in.
Yeah, those damn Trojans.
Yep, you got it. But to get to my Johnnies right now, there is nothing like St. John's University when their basketball's going good.
Yep.
Now, going back to my wheelhouse in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, I was 22 years old back in the 80s, and my friend was an Indian at St. John's and would be at every game back in the good old days. And, I mean, there was nothing like the Big East tournament and nothing on that run. I mean, that year in 85, three of the four teams in the Final Four was the Big East. That's how strong the Big East was back then.
No, absolutely,
And when St. John's is going, this city just picks up on
it.
There is no doubt. Back then, St. John's was more popular than the Knicks back in the early 80s because we didn't have Ewing yet.
Right.
And St. John's is much more popular. They sell out the Garden more compared to the Knicks games.
Yeah, but no doubt, Charlie, and thank you for the call. Yeah, no, I fully admit, it's the one college team that this town falls in love with. It's St. John's, that's it. And right now, I mean, they're a 2 seed. Patino has turned this around. There's reason to believe it can continue. I mean, it's just a matter of whether Patino stays. As long as Patino's here, they are now a program. They have the money. They have now the gravitas. They've got the building. They've got everything you would need to keep this program where it is. They got the coach. I mean, it's a different world collegiately, what they do. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I remember, or I was telling Evan today, Patino's talking about, I'm not even looking at high school kids. Like, what kind of college program isn't even looking at recruiting high school kids? Like, that's where we are. He's just going to go through the portal. He's going to find guys. Like, maybe that is more common back in the day. I just can't even imagine. Like, we're not looking at high school recruits. Well, what do you, like, that's where we are in college basketball today, where St. John's is going to replace all of their missing, all the players they lose with more experienced college athletes. So right now it feels like the program's in great hands, and they are a legitimate threat in this tournament. There is no doubt. It's not, you know, the bracket, I do like the first two matchups. Like, even with, you know, looking ahead to either, you know, Arkansas or Kansas, and obviously the matchup there between either coach, whether it's Calipari or Bill Self. I mean, Kansas is a perennial, you know, Final Four caliber team. You know, Calipari and, you know, Patino, the history there. Either way, that's going to be a good matchup. But I think St. John's is better than both of those teams. But then you get to Texas Tech. Now, that's the team right now is the 3 seed, as St. John's is, I believe they are the 4th number 2. They got probably the toughest number 3 in Florida right now is projected to be, you know, a team that everyone expects to, you know, win this championship. They've been the hottest team in the last 3 weeks. They've played extremely well. UConn is the 8th seed there. You can see UConn go on a run here. So you got UConn in the mix, 2-time defending champ with one of the great coaches in college basketball on a team that's underperformed this year. They're not nearly as good defensively as they've been. Don't have the firepower they have, but still, you know, UConn is dangerous in this tournament. How many times do we go into this tournament and say, you know, we don't expect much from UConn, and then they go on a run. You got Memphis in there at 5, Maryland in 4, but Texas Tech is a very difficult number 3. Florida is an impossible number 1. It is not going to be easy, but this team and what they do defensively is as good as it gets in this tournament. You know what it is? You get into these tournaments, man, it's play the D, shoot the 3. And if they can hit their 3, and they've been better as of late, Lewis Jr. has really come through and he's been, you know, hitting their shots. They've been better at the foul line. Sorry, as I'm watching the Knick game. If they can hit their foul shots, play defense down the stretch, hit some threes, you're looking at a team that right now is tough as nails. I'm not worried about the idea of pressure finally being on them, and I admit that. I don't think there was much pressure on them in the Big East tournament. You want to win the Big East tournament? I get it. They won the Big East regular season. They're better than all these teams. They've beaten all these teams already, right? They had beat Marquette a couple times. They've beaten Creighton. They've beaten UConn, who they didn't end up having to face. But, like, to me, it's nice to win the Big East tournament. You want to win the Big East tournament, but they were the regular season Big East winners. Pitino already said that was a more important, you know, milestone than winning the tournament. Even if they lost the tournament, you're looking at a 3 seed. Now is where the pressure mounts. Now it's the pressure to get to a Final Four. Now it's the pressure on any given night. You have to make your 3s. Any given night, you have to come through. So I do think the pressure starts, but I think they've been pressure tested. I think Pitino is a mastermind at this. I think they're going to be ready for this. Nothing scares me about this tournament for them. Like, I don't think they're going to be in over their skis. I know it's been a long time since they've been in this situation. It's been 2000 since they've been a 2 seed. But I think they're tough mentally, physically. Like, nothing about this scares me other than a night where they go cold. That's the only thing that scares me. If the shots go cold and they can't find a bucket, that's the problem. But other than that, I think they're going to have a real good chance in the first two games, and then it's going to come down to the big test is going to be, and I expect Texas Tech to get there. I think that's the big matchup. If they can get through Texas Tech and then all they have to worry about is Florida, you're going to talk about an exciting run. And I can tell you right now, me and Fliegelman have talked about this in the overnight. If you're talking about the elite, I think it was the Elite Eight, or even the Sweet 16. I think it's the Sweet 16. The 27th. You're gonna have opening day. You want to talk about how our last caller mentioned that how big St. John's is when the city's going, when the team is going. Everybody, let's just say it's an Elite Eight game, and that would be the game against Texas Tech. You got St. John's, Texas Tech. The same day as opening day for Mets and Yankees. What's the story? St. John's is going to overshadow Juan Soto's first game as a New York Met. Is that possible? Have we gotten there? I know I've been here for 17 years. 17 years, going on 18 years I've been here. Not always on the air, but I've been at this station doing this, revolved around New York sports for 18 years. The idea of St. John's being a bigger story than the New York Yankees opening day, than Juan Soto first game as a New York Met, that we could be talking Johnny's versus Texas Tech as the big moment, the big story of the night. It's mind-boggling to me. It is unprecedented. It's something I've never even considered. It's something I haven't thought about. It's astounding. And to think he's done it in 2 years, the speed in which Pitino has turned this program into a program that could take this city hostage for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, is unbelievable to me. That's the story. I mean, we could break down the games, and we will. And we'll have fun doing it. And I love Tournament Day. And I actually like, you know, we'll see when I'm on against it as I'm in for Keith this week. But I like the late night starts. I'm, you know, especially as a fall, I talk about this a lot. Back before I had the overnight days, like, I loved late Yankee games. Nothing better than West Coast Yankee games. As a Yankee fan, I love it. Kids are asleep, quiet in the house. I don't have to worry about anything. It's too late for even the wife to bother me about what TV show she wants to watch. 9:45 tip, Saint. That's my prime, baby. That's prime. Thursday night, 9:45 tip. Crack went open, started at 9:40. Perfect. perfect. I know everyone's complaining. Why? Perfection. I love that. Because let's be honest, you're getting all into the first couple. It's the 12 and 2 and 3 lock games. Yeah, you watch all night long, but it's that opening of the tournament noon that you're all trying to watch everything. 9:45, for the most part, focus on St. John's. Perfect! 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls next on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
The door is closed on what was a special year last year. All of that is now on in our memories.
Stream Boomer and Geo live or on demand with the Odyssey app and podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never seen. All right, 9:36, Mick Monagle here with you. On this Monday evening, the Knicks have pulled away a little bit. They're up 21 points. They went on a 19-2 run. And that might not even be the story of the game right now, unfortunately, as Tracy Morgan caused about a 15-minute delay at the Garden. And they went on the 19-2 run after he was apparently wheeled out of the stadium. So I hope he's okay, but it is Tracy Morgan absolutely lost his lunch all over the Garden floor right next. I'm seeing people sending me pictures on Twitter. right next to the broadcast booth. I mean,
do you see Steve Sciroppa looking at him?
No, I didn't see Steve Sciroppa looking at him.
One of the pictures,
but
you know,
Kenny Albert's right there, and obviously Walt is, Clyde Frazier is right there. I mean, they're all just. Let me see. Yeah, I don't see Sciroppa, although I'm sure he's close. I mean, yeah, he just absolutely loses his lunch all over the floor. Oh, my God.
The first picture I tagged you in, he's at the far left edge of the picture, standing there staring with his hands in his pockets.
And he's, yeah, and he's just sitting right next. I mean, he is the next desk over. He is the next seat over. Oh, my God. That is so funny. I hope he's okay, obviously. I hope it, you know. I don't see any drinks on the floor. I just see a bottle of water. I don't see anything like that. So hopefully he's just okay. And he got wheeled out. But Knicks go on a big run. Karl Anthony Towns has responded to the idea that his teammates let him down, coming out and carrying the team for the first half. And now Josh Hart has another triple-double. The team has pulled away, and hopefully we'll secure a victory there. It's now 90-67 over the Heat. Blowout on the way here for the New York Knicks, who outscored the Miami Heat 41-15 in the third quarter. 41-point third quarter. Josh Hart has, in 29 minutes, he has 13 rebounds, 11 assists, and he scored 12 points. He is a plus 31 for the game. What'd you say? What was the Josh Hart triple-double stat you gave me?
It's his eighth triple-double of the season, which is ties him with Clyde Frazier for the most in a single season.
Wow.
In
that's
Knicks
his,
history.
That's his eighth triple-double for Josh Hart, who's coming off two brutal games, including almost throwing the game away against Portland, not knowing the rules under the basket. And having a terrible foul against Portland. So Josh Hart now ties Walt Clyde Frazier with eight, the most triple-doubles ever in a season for a New York Knick. And he's got a bunch of opportunities to get a ninth. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
What's up, my man, Mac? I'm telling you, I just had some soup, alphabet soup, and it spelled out Red Storm. I'm telling you, it's going to be. I took about four kids to the game from my program out to the tournament. It was on fire. So yeah. I'm back at the student section, and I go, "What time the cell phones?" I'm a graduate. Been a fan for a long time. I like your fever. I think the defense can do it. I hear these guys telling me the Big Ten. The Big Ten. What the hell did they win? Connecticut, two in a row.
Yeah.
We got them.
Well, the SEC SEC right now is the school. They got Florida. Alabama's a legitimate contender.
What about 14 teams?
What did they do? Yeah, Auburn was the best team all year long. Right now, Florida's the trendy pick.
And Tennessee, I hear you, but I think we got something going here. I'm going to order the suit. I'm going to order the white suit. I told my wife, go upstairs.
You're going to order the white suit?
I'm telling you, I'm 70 years old. I'm dapping it out.
That's
and
funny.
And since you're a Seahawk,
yes,
I was the Rock. I'm telling you, I would love to see the Trojans go now. Can't those guys are
in Garden City?
They do. Garden City, their father's training. It's amazing.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Program is amazing.
I know, and they're even better at lacrosse than they are at football. Damn Garden City Trojans. But yes, out in the white suit would be fun. But yeah, look, Florida has overtaken a lot of people's expectations to win this tournament with the way they played. Alabama's been really good. Obviously, Auburn and Duke have been the two best teams pretty much all year. So there, it's you know, St. John's is a legitimate number two. They have an absolute opportunity to win this whole damn thing. Why not? Right, with the way they defend, there's an absolute chance to win it. But there's a lot of tough. They do have a tough bracket when you look at the number three seed and number one seed. They're going up against Texas Tech and Florida. Those aren't, right now, Florida's, I believe they're the betting favorite at the moment. It could be Auburn, but Florida has been the trendy pick the way they played, the way they went through the SEC tournament. Like, they just are the trendy pick. Alabama's a very good team as well. Duke has been right there with Auburn as the two best teams, obviously. Flag has been great. Houston, a great defensive team. Plays similar to St. John's. Could be a championship contender as the other one seed. We'll see. There's some opportunities for upstates. We'll get more into the tournament as we go along. Can I say one thing about the tournament, though? And this is coming from someone, I'll be totally honest with you. Not the biggest, as Mitchell Robinson just throws one down, not the biggest, and I want to speak on behalf of the not the biggest college basketball fans in the world. I want to speak on behalf of the 99% of us who will be watching this tournament, who love this tournament, who get all excited for it, who go get a vasectomy so we can sit on the couch and watch it. Like, we love the tournament. The tournament is great. Thursday, Friday is great. I'm meeting my friends in the city at a bar on Friday afternoon. I love the tournament. Love it. But can I just say something? I don't care who necessarily deserves to get in. Can we stop with North Carolina? Can you just put North Carolina in there? North Carolina. I want to see North Carolina. I don't care how many quad one victories they have and how many quad three losses they have and West Virginia deserves it or Indiana deserves it. I get it. If you're a big-time college basketball fan, you follow it daily. You follow it every week. You go to West Virginia. Sure, you feel bad. Maybe West Virginia deserved it. Maybe Indiana deserved it. I don't care. And I know the scandal right now that the PD is part of the committee. He excused himself from the conversation about North Carolina, and suddenly, whoop, North Carolina found its way in. I want North Carolina. If they're on the bubble, I want North Carolina in the tournament. I'm sorry, call me crazy. I want the big names. I want to watch North Carolina. I'm telling you right now, I'm betting the hell out of them. Nothing would make me happier than North Carolina to go on a little bit of a run and get to the Sweet 16 and stick it to everybody. I am so tired. I understand. All right, but who cares? I don't care about quad one victories or anything else. Put North Carolina in the tournament. Maybe I'm crazy. I understand, oh, it's the best teams. You got to have the best 64. It's 64 of them. 64, and we're still complaining. It could be 160. We have 128. We could double the damn field. And everybody be like, well, listen, it's totally unfair. But it's such crap. I'll be totally honest with you. If Duke, North Carolina, like if these teams are on the bubble, I'm just speaking for the 90% of the fans that are going to be watching this NCAA tournament who don't focus on this on a daily basis and could care less about quad victories. I want North Carolina in. I want the history of North Carolina. I want to hear about North Carolina. I want to see the highlights of Jordan hitting the shot in the championship game against Georgetown. I want North Carolina in. That's it. Now, if they're miserable, fine. But if they're on the bubble, the blue bloods in. I feel this way about upsets too. We all love upsets. We all love upsets until it's the next round and they get their ass kicked and the game's terrible. All right. I want the big colleges in there. I want the big teams. I want North Carolina in the tournament. If they're anywhere close, put them in. I'll be telling you, I could care less about all these different metrics and the Palm, Ken Palm and all the other crap, quadrant wins and victories and losses. How do you justify this? How do I justify it? They're North Carolina. They have their own color. There's North Carolina blue. If you're a school and you've been successful enough where you have your own color, put them in the tournament. I could care less about, I'm sorry, I know Big Zoo went to West Virginia, I think. I don't care about West Virginia. And honestly, Indiana, you know, the Hoosiers had their time where they were that big program. It hasn't felt like that in years. I want North Carolina in. Put North Carolina in. I'm glad they're in, and I'll be betting them. I'm going to have some fun. I hope North Carolina makes it to the Final Four. I know they probably won't, but I want these schools in there. And the upsets are fun, and we enjoy it on Thursday and Friday. And then on the weekend, we're like, damn, they're getting blown out by 30 points. I really wish, you know, I wish they didn't hit that last second three to knock, you know, whoever else, who, you know, Houston out of the tournament. Because Purdue is having their way with, you know, Clemson here. Or whatever, I don't know. Give me North Carolina. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls next on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Domingo Herman has pitched a perfect game! For the fourth time in the history of the New York Yankees, perfection attained. Herman being mobbed at home plate by a full Yankee dugout coming out to congratulate the 30-year-old from the Dominican Republic.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. I know it's a different take, but I have to admit, I don't. The perfect outcome for a tournament basketball game for me is a tight game, down to the wire, final seconds, but the favorite pulls through. I don't love the upsets for what they do for the tournament. I love watching great games, and I love the pressure of, oh my God, they might upset. They might be upset. Can you believe this? Oh, what a disaster this would be, or whatever. But then, ultimately, I don't want the 15 seed to win because they're going to get blown out the next game. I'd rather have it be a tight game, feel like it could happen, the suspense of it might happen, and then ultimately the 2 seed pulls it out. That's the ideal game. I do not want to see the upset actually come to fruition. I want the big team to win. I want the best teams to play. I want the Final Four to be the best 4 teams in the country. And maybe that's a bit hypocritical because I'm not screaming for the best teams to make the tournament. When it comes to North Carolina, I don't care. If it were North Carolina or Duke or a prominent college basketball team, give me those teams. Let's see if Walt in Philadelphia feels the same. What's up, Walt? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. Yeah, first chance I've gotten to call you. Usually I hear you in the overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, by the way, North Carolina, I do bracketology all the time, and they I had on the 12 line as the last bye in the field because I had a lot of mid-majors above the cutoff line for at-large. So as a result, my play-ins were on the 14 line instead of the 11.
Okay.
And I can tell you also, two biggest underseeds of the tournament, UC San Diego and Drake. I had both of them on the 3 line. Drake's on the 11. UC San Diego is on the 12. I think UC San Diego can beat Michigan and then get to the Sweet 16. Same with Drake winning their first 2 games, but then I think they both get knocked out in the Sweet 16 because because even though I have them up there, like the top 6-7 teams are much higher than everybody else.
Okay, Walt. I'm glad that's what you have. I mean, look, I think Drake is a bit underseeded as well. Been here a lot. 30 wins. We'll see, but they've got a, you know, they got a chance against Missouri. But again, I hope Drake loses. I don't want to see any upsets. I want to see real good games. I want to see the favorites pull out because that's more likely to give me more good games. I want more good games. That's what I want, the most number of good games. And upsets tend to lead to bad games. I've been saying this forever. People don't understand it. My buddy Lieb, who I'm going to be watching some of the games with over the next couple of days, like, he doesn't understand this thought process at all. He's like, why wouldn't you want the upset? The upsets are awesome. I'm like, they are in the moment. Maybe I'm just not a slave to the moment. Maybe I understand that it's a long tournament. It's about the, I don't need the instant gratification of saying, oh, wow. And a number one seed goes down. Great. And then Norfolk State gets blown out by Oklahoma by 35 points. Like, who cares? Let's take one Yankee call quick before we get to the top. Kevin in Maine. What's up, Kevin?
Chris, long time, buddy.
Long time. Thank you for holding a little bit. We've been talking about some other things, but thank you for holding. What's up?
No. I mean, it's been a long time since I talked to you, and I have no problem holding.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, it's good to hear you not in the zombie hours, but it doesn't matter to me because I'm with you guys 24 hours a day anyway.
Well, you can also you can always listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can rewind. You can go back to my podcast. You can find me. If you're determined on hearing Big Mac or C-Mac, you can find me.
I'm on the app right now. What do you think? SWFAN comes
there
in the Bangor.
That's it.
But thank you for being there to make my job that much easier.
You're welcome.
Tracy Morgan throwing up. He must have heard that Cookie Carrasco is going to be in the rotation. And just let me tell you a little bit why I'm a little pissed off at Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees. And then I'll hang up and continue on listening.
Okay.
We wasted the best year, probably, of this contract of Gerrit Cole on an 82-80 team.
Right. That's the Cy Young.
Going into last year, he probably had an inkling, or they did, that he had this issue. I understand World Series or bust. I get it. So now, excuse me, then we got into this year, and remember the whole opt-out and the Yankees didn't budge? There's another red flag right there. You know what I mean? So why? And now here we are. Here we are. Cookie Carrasco, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Rodon.
Carlos Rodon makes a lot of money. Yeah, Carlos Rodon. I mean, he's a pretty good number three starter. Now he's the number two. But, I mean, over the course, I don't know if I trust him in big games, but over the course of the regular season, he's going to pitch fairly well and win you a lot of games. Like, the rotations.
And
Cookie Carrasco, they're dealing with injuries. Right now he's in the rotation. They have no choice because they don't have the depth to do anything else. So you can go with Will Warren, but if you can't afford to just lose Cookie Carrasco right now, that's where they are. You're right.
I mean, I was going into this season, and I was like, you know what? The plan B pivot was okay, and I was really looking forward to the rotation.
Yep.
And then it was just like, oh, my God, one by one by one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, oh.
Well, listen, Kev, it's the rotation. Last year we thought the same thing when Gerrit Cole was gone, and Luis Gil stepped up, and they had the best rotation in the sport for the first half. Let's let it play out. Again, it's only every fifth day. The offense is more important, but I'll answer a couple of your questions about Cole moving forward over the next 2 hours. I got to break him up against the top. We'll get more into St. John's. We'll finish up. The Knicks are just finishing up as they're up 109-85 with 2 minutes and 54 seconds left. I mean, Marco, you don't even have to be here, buddy.
Can I go home now?